This is start of our annual summer holiday series. Woo! If you remember last summer, we had a theme of journeys. What kind of journeys happened in Bible? We looked at Joshua's journey to Jericho. We looked at Noah's journey on the ark. We looked at different memories that were created. However, I thought this summer we'll go Mediterranean. We'll have a Mediterranean cruise in the form of Paul's missionary journeys. Each missionary journey we will look at is normally a popular holiday tourist destination in 21st century Earth. It'll be great to just take a seat, sit back, enjoy the scenery, land on both sides. Don't worry, no water will be involved unless you want water involved. I think with weather, we can definitely want water involved. We have spent our previous series looking at the theme and idea of local church, which I hope and pray has been a blessing for all of you. But as we start looking at this idea of holiday trip, a cruise trip, just think about how each journey is different. Nothing goes smoothly. I mean, getting down to the port to hop onto the boat must be eventful. You have children going, I need bathroom, I want snacks. Or adults thinking, oh, I need to get petrol, need pump up tire pressure. Oh no, the oil lights come on. Ah. But it's like everyone's relationship with Christ is different. The journey of how we get to the same place is all not the same, but we find ourselves in the same place. Parents are often led. Children very often stay where they're brought up. And something different about every journey is the conclusion of it. Something, I know this has been advertised at Holiday Customs, I do apologise, but today's more of a day trip out. Day trip out to Lystra in modern day Turkey, or what was called Asia Minor. But I've got three short things to cover this morning. And first one is astonishment. Astonishment is inevitable with any journey. I remember playing a game of I Spy on the way to my grandmother's house. And they had big towers on. Yes, Dad's laughing. And I go, I spy with my little eye. What's that? It's lovely. It's astonishment, something you never realize. When Paul healed the lame man, he provided an instant reaction to his arrival. The arrival into any town is important. If anyone visits Framlingham, I'm sure they'll visit the school Ed Sheeran went to. I mean, how great would it be if everyone came to Framlingham on a Sunday morning to visit the school Ed Sheeran went to and just walked in and saw us? How amazing would that be? They're probably going to the Framlingham Castle where Queen Mary first on this very day, back in 1553, was proclaimed Queen of England, where Queen Elizabeth I spent most of her summers here because it was owned by family. It's a humble town and full of lovely people. I'm sure you can all agree. The same would apply if we ended up someplace different. Whether we visit someone where someone famous lives or lived. Last summer for my mum's birthday, I brought tickets to go round Sandringham House in Norfolk. And it's a lovely place. You can only go round the downstairs, unlike other royal residences, because Queen likes her privacy. But it's amazing how much she just puts on display to show that she's a normal, everyday person. She puts on display her lovely china, her Sunday best china, and everything. And like everyone gets up in the morning, gets moving. However, Paul, he got people moving. He got them talking. The reaction were the gods had arrived. They thought Paul was, as big speaker, was king of the gods, nearly, because he was talking a lot. Barnabas, not saying much, but watching what Paul was doing, learning. A disappointment when Paul said, no, we're just bringing some good news. Bring some excellent news of something amazing that happened. Paul admits that, yeah, in passing, God let nations go their way. The Native Americans until Europe started walking in, they were so isolated almost. They were so wrapped up in their cultures. Same as when the Romans and the Christians first came over here, we were so wrapped up in culture. And Paul just wants to let everyone know God is real. Same as when missionaries come. A day trip out, yes, we go our own way, but wherever we end up, we'll return with stories of, do you remember when you spilled that drink in the car and how terrified Dad was cleaning it up? And just having got good, no, let's call it fantastic news even. But on the cross, Jesus calls redemption. He gave us reason. Some lyrics from Wren Collective that come to mind is, there's good news for the captive, good news for the shamed. There's good news for the one who walked away. There's good news for the doubter. But one religion failed, for the good Lord has come to seek and save. Amen. That is good news. Because Jesus is our rescuer. And this is what Paul is trying to say. Jesus is our rescuer. The locals did not think like that. As we all know, sometimes things do not sit well with locals. You might walk in and think, well, that house can do with a paint. The brickwork might need doing up. No, the locals are locals because they set up a community. It can cause an uneasiness when people start dictating, telling what they should do. The local Jews did not like what Paul was saying. They too were astonished. Considering this man had persecuted Christians and now we're saying the same thing as Peter, James, John, and every other disciple that was walking with Jesus and friends with Jesus. This brings me to next point, speech. Speech is an important part of our lives. We speak our thoughts, our feelings. On holidays and day trips out, we verbally say where we want to go. We spend most of our time speaking. An interesting statistic, the average man speaks, the number of words an average man speaks each day, 15,669 words. That's a lot. The average woman, 16,215 words a day. I've just started something old here. But the average preacher and pastor, 25,000 words a day. I make it a rule not to say too much on Sunday afternoon if I'm preaching. So let's total up 15,669 words. Between Paul and Barnabas, it's over 30,000 words. 30,000 words of God's love and peace and kindness. It's been a very hot week this week, and when I sat down to start writing on Monday, I was like, I'm so hot. Then Tuesday, I'm like, really? But once I started writing and thinking, it just got quicker and quicker. Where the reading took place, I had a look at what the average temperature was, about 41, 42 degrees Celsius. So Paul and Barnabas were reaching their quotas, so to speak, on how many words to say in unbearable heat. However, that's a mix-up with Barnabas and Paul. They got half of it right. Paul was God's messenger. He was the messenger sharing the good news. As we, as Christians in 21st century Britain, are messengers. This brings to third and final point, rejection. I was unable to figure out the perfect word to describe this. The local Jews won over the crowd and like, yeah, Paul should die. Paul should be humiliated. They stoned him. They thought he was dead. And Paul just got up. With Paul, there was no see you later, alligator. Rather, we do not want you here from the other people. In the words of the movie The Godfather, an offer that cannot be refused. Yes. But then again, it's all part of Luke's writing. He writes so well. In the gospel, he records a similar experience that happened to Jesus. He quotes the prophet Isaiah. A prophet is without honor in his hometown. Philip, when he was called by Jesus in John's gospel, was, what's good ever come out of Nazareth? Samson was welcomed in his hometown, wasn't he? The other prophets weren't. I know what it feels like to get multiple rejections. 248 job interviews before I got the job I was in. But you have to keep knocking on doors. You have to keep speaking. Be astonished by what door's the right one. God will open the right one. Sometimes he does creak it open just a little bit to help try and prepare you for the one that he does fully open. The mind gets bogged down and we worry when things don't go our ways. Paul simply got up, dusted himself off, moved on. There is some good news, as we see later on in the chapter, that Paul does go back. I think Thomas Palmer, who's a teacher in the 1840s, had Paul in mind. If at first you don't succeed, try again. Yes, Paul does have this in practice. On his second trip to Lystra, he met a certain young man by name of Timothy. How interesting is that? The doors open at right time. They open at opening time. You try and get into a shop or something because it's closed, you're not going to get anywhere. But if you get there for opening time, it's open wide up, they're like, welcome, come on in. Paul just knows when right time is. He knows when opening time is. So just to